Before I get started, so my topic is using social determinants of health. We are working on a project. Oh, absolutely. Am I a little taller than you?
I'm a little short.
Okay. I'm going to share a project where we are looking at factors that influence health related to neighborhoods. But before I get started, I want to ask everybody a question. How many of you know what census tract you live in? And this is a skewed sample in this room, I think. Okay, so keep your hand up. If you know what census tract you live in, since I don't even know, how many of you have a personal connection, feel personally connected to your census tract? I got a couple. Okay, now how many live in a neighborhood? It could be rural, urban, whatever. And how many people, okay, come on, I need hands up a little higher. How many of you feel some sort of connection to your neighborhood? All right, so if you look around the room, what you see, and this is kind of the main point that I'm trying to make, is that a lot of the data we have related to health are at the kind of administrative level, census tract level, and people don't relate to that as well. And so what this project is trying to get at is the perception, the neighborhood perception, and how we can better model that. So that's sort of a snapshot. So I can stop now. I think I'm done. But I have no relationships to disclose, no financial relationships as well as none of our co-authors. I thought Nicole did a great job of discussing why we focus on the importance of neighborhood as well as the theme of our conference. But I want to mention that 81% of the U.S. population is now living in an urban center. And these urban centers, as everybody who knows who lives there, they're not one homogenous unit. There is a lot of diversity and things happening within these centers. I'm going to be giving an example of one community, one neighborhood in Indianapolis that has a population of about 31,000 people in this neighborhood. And that population is bigger than 40 of our 92 counties. But we can't get to information as well as we can for some of the county level data. So that's a huge problem. So as many of you know that the measures of health in neighborhoods are, we need those measures in order to really design effective and appropriate and meaningful interventions at that level, as well as to assess whether or not interventions have, and health promotion activities have an impact. But unfortunately, the baseline data is not there for many, and that what is available are city level or county level or state level information. And so it really makes we really lose a lot of that meaningful depth. And on top of that, rarely do we incorporate social influences into those health measures. So I'm going to be presenting one piece of our project. What the goal of our initial project was to incorporate clinical data with social data and then come up with a measure of neighborhood health, excuse me, but we're going to focus on just this center. I know lots of people would love to hear about the clinical data systems, but that'll be another time. So our project goal was really to use geospatial techniques to demonstrate social context of neighborhoods using resident-defined neighborhoods, and that's the key piece, and that ties back to the questions I asked you at the beginning. So we are approaching this in a way like similar to income inequality concept, where in areas where there are small gaps, where the perception is of the differences between you and the area around you, the geography around you is small, tend to have better health outcomes than in areas where there are big gaps between. So, for example, between the large economic gaps. And so what we're going to look at is a variety of other factors in that similar way. And so for another example, the America's Health Rankings are another comparative indicator where we're looking at the parent geography being the United States and then comparing by the states with each other. County health rankings are another example where we're not comparing rankings across all the counties in the country. We're not comparing Indiana counties to California counties. We're looking at the state of Indiana, each state as the parent geography, and comparing within that geography. I'm going to be focusing on Marion County right there in the center. You see the star represents Indianapolis, our capital, and you can see by the coloring, this is the 2014 health outcomes from the county health rankings. Marion County is in the highest quartile and indicating some of the highest challenges for the state. So in order to start looking at how, what are the variables we want to try to include and try to get at for neighborhood variables, we went and identified all the different categories of social determinants we really wanted to try to have represented. And so these are the categories that we ended up representing with education, income, employment, housing, social disorder, transportation, and community safety. We would love to add a measure of discrimination as another piece. If anybody can figure out, have a measure of that that is available down to block level data, let us know, because that would be fantastic. So here are the indicators that we selected to use. So for education, percent of adults greater than 25 years without high school degree, percent of families with annual income below the federal poverty level, percent of individuals aged greater than 16 years that are unemployed, percent of housing units that are renter occupied, percent of vacant housing, percent of households with no car available, and violent crime rate. And from there, we calculated a disparity ratio. So basically taking whatever the neighborhood value is and divide that by the parent geography. And I'll talk about more about what we're using for the parent geography. So if those values, the ratio, so basic math, if that equals 1, that means that it's an equivalent risk or equivalent value. Now, because we have 7 measures, so the norm value would be 7, and anything above 7 would be higher risk, and below 7 would be lower risk. But we are hoping to use this tool for working with community partners and things, and that gets complicated. So what we did is normalizing it to 0 by subtracting 7. So 0, if you're above 0, it's a higher risk. If you're below 0, it's a lower risk. So here's one example. This is a comparison of the Indianapolis MSA, Metropolitan Service Area, compared to the state. So our parent geography is the state. And these are 11 counties at the center of the state. And so if you look at the, on the legend, the area that's equivalent to the state is this blue area up here. So we have one county that kind of falls in that equivalent to the state. All the areas in yellow and green have lower values than the state, so slightly better off than the state as a whole. And we have one unlucky or lucky county in the middle right there that has a much higher percentage compared to the state. And that is Marion County, and that's at 60% higher. I apologize. It does run to the high end of that legend. So that's on our scale, it's showing higher. So these are indicators. So here's an example walking through the calculation. I will say compared to your calculations, it's a little bit easier for me to follow. Just because of my background, not because of what you presented. So our community, the neighborhood that I'm focusing on is the Near East Side community. And we're using the parent geography of Marion County. So we're going to compare the neighborhood to the county. So the Near East Side, so I'll just walk through one. So for percent of adults with less than high school education was about 30%. You divide that by Marion County, is 16%, which gives us a ratio of 1.87. So we took all of the ratios calculated and ended up down there at the bottom with a cumulative risk of about 13.92. So that's about double what the county rate is. And so here's another way to look at it with the stack bars, where we have Marion County with each variable being indicated as 1, as it's the parent, and then the comparison based on what the Near East Side neighborhood has. So you can see from a visual perspective where there might be greater proportion. So here's a map showing the Near East Side as well as another neighborhood in Indianapolis area. And it's just showing you from a graphic perspective, from a mapping perspective, that double, 99% higher. So what we wanted to do, the neighborhoods, it's important to know that the neighborhood definition Near East Side has 20 sub-neighborhoods, and each of these neighborhoods were defined by community residents. They had to go register and have a neighborhood association. So this is more of a residentially defined neighborhood. And the thing about this that I find that has drawn me in is that if we just looked at it based on what you saw on the previous slide, it has one homogeneous look to it. And so we mapped the 20 sub-neighborhoods, and you can see based on this, just from a quick look, how much diversity is within this one one neighborhood. In fact, the ones in yellow are doing at equal rate to the county, if not better in some ways. So I think so. What you see is a great range, ranging from in the greens, 11 to 50%. It's got a mind of its own, this thing. 11 to 50% higher, all the way up to 181%. And so for mapping purposes, we've got them clustered, but we can also break it down into more distinct, more categories. So I'm going to conclude and talk about some of the key points are that urban neighborhood boundaries really can be defined in many ways. I would love to go out and do some qualitative discussions with people about how they associate with their neighborhoods, because not everybody had a connection to your neighborhood. But it is really important that we start to try to connect to what people's perceptions, the data to people's perceptions. So determinants of health vary depending on the neighborhood definition, as I mentioned. So either are we at this large neighborhood or even small sub-neighborhoods, it varies even there. And I'm sure we could get crazy and at the, you know, the block, you know your block. Assessments on residential health vary depending on scale, how we compare it. So we are comparing this to Marion County. We could, if we compared it, it would look different to a broader area. But the comparative risk for a neighborhood was almost double to that of the parent county. And the sub-neighborhoods really showed a great variability. But one was actually, so if we looked at it from the first map that showed this double the risk for the state, there's actually sub-neighborhoods in there that are doing better. Compared to the county, and are doing better. And so if I was going to be work with an intervention, I don't really want to go focus in that one neighborhood that's doing really better. I need to be focusing in some of the more disadvantaged areas. So our implications are that this strategy can help improve the contextual understanding and targeting of localized health issues and improve the correlation between community perspectives and documented health issues. And we hope that this can help demonstrate neighborhood differences in lived experience of social determinants of health and provide residents with a picture of how their neighborhood compares in a broader context in which they live. And that's a concern when you walk in and talk to community folks and we have one picture and they have a totally different picture, and then they kind of discount folks walking in because you're not connected to what we are living and breathing. And that this kind of a tool can help inform intervention activities. And so finally, similar to the concept of income inequality, health may be most impacted by social determinants of health in situations where there's a relative difference, and we need to be exploring some of that. Thank you. That one? Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mention that. Block groups. It was so block groups, and then if there was any census tracts that extended beyond, we did a proportional weighting depending on what percentage was in that neighborhood versus outside of that neighborhood. Not related to this, no. And honestly, when we were first designing this, we really wanted an assets-based mapping. The challenge was the way a lot of the data are laid out. And so I absolutely would like to add that in. It's a great point. That's a good question, and we've gone round and round whether or not of including the concept of race in the maps, and it doesn't map exactly. I don't have the percentages right on the tip of my tongue. I don't know. We have a couple of the co-authors in the room. Do you guys remember off the tip? We can figure that out for you right afterwards, but it doesn't map exactly like that, and so many of these communities, even the Little Flower area, is much more integrated. So I don't think it would map that way.
Something else that I questioned a little more
those are the two larger communities. Those are both doing, so there is a higher, do we remember what the racial breakdown is on Near West versus Near East? It's pretty equivalent, right?
Yeah, but the Near East side has more.
Sorry, what did you say?
But there is more diversity in the Near East side than the Near West.
So more diversity in the lower value than in the higher value. So it doesn't map exactly. So I'm going to pass this to our census track person, our mapping person who... Well, there was a push for it, and you see there's a few little areas, just those ones down here at the south end, but everything else is falling into an established neighborhood association. This way? County. So based on the county, I mean, I think that's an excellent point. So if we based it against the state, these all would be really, really high, right? But because we're putting it into more of a lived experience within where they're living in the Indianapolis area, it actually makes them look a little differently. So it's a great point. You raised a great point that if we changed the parent geography to the state, it would look different, but it would raise the risk for most of them. So if I was at a state level trying to make a decision, then I would be wanting to look at the state level. But if I'm in the city level, I would want to be looking at a city level snapshot like this, because my decisions are about my city, not about the whole state. So if I was a planner at the city level or working in Indianapolis, I'd much rather see my comparison to the county, and I would be able to focus on the higher need areas in my county. So, but if I was looking at state, that'd be a whole different decision. Yeah. Are we done?
The 7 indicators, are they weighted?
No. No, and there's some discussion because there's some confound, you know, there's some, but the reality is, the way we're looking at it is from the lived experience that this is what people are living. And so there could be some confounders, like is income another measure for something else? But the reality is we're looking at the crime rates in that neighborhood, and we're looking at the poverty rates in that neighborhood. So it's more of a picture. It's not an index. It's more of a picture of what's happening. Because we understand the challenge with it being an actual index, but it's more of a picture.
Right.
So plan, we have one of the largest electronic medical records, the INTC, and so our goal is to utilize that information because we can get that. That's geotagged, and we can get it down to a neighborhood level. There are lots of challenges with using electronic medical records because they're not designed for public health perspectives, right? So, so that was one of the things that we started, and we're still trying to make that work. The other thing is for Marion County, we've had some local health surveys and things that can get it lower. But the challenge is now if we go beyond this region. So that is a challenge from a national perspective on how we develop tools. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.